Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get to Brian Cashman now as we welcome in the Yankee general manager. Cash, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thank you. All right. Cash, before I get to you and your team, any thoughts on the Astros story?
I know that hit yesterday, and it was perfect timing because it was right before we had our media hour sessions that they do here at the GM meetings where all general managers meet with the media for an hour, and so we kind of walked right into that. I chose yesterday, and I think I'll take the same stance as we move forward until we get some direction from Major League Baseball. I'm not going to comment towards it. I know Houston has obviously been accused of some things, and they've issued a statement that they're working with Major League Baseball to investigate the matter. And so I know it's on the commissioner's office. It's on their table. Their antenna is now obviously up again and on this subject matter. And it's in their hands. So I think it's probably, for the industry's sake, it's in my best interest not to comment towards it.
Okay. Let me get to a couple other things before I get it back on the field with your players. Beltran, you were very high on him as a manager, so I'm sure you're not surprised that he became a manager, right?
Yeah, he was in a, people may forget, he went through the interview process for our vacant manager spot, and that was in a very short period of time after he retired. And so it speaks to the level of presence and leadership and that, kind of resonated, at least with me and our group, to have him be in that room and earn the right to be there and listen to what he had to say. And he definitely checks a lot of boxes. And then when we chose to go with Aaron Boone, I didn't want Beltran walking out of that office. I wanted to somehow keep a hold of his content, his abilities to, obviously an exceptional baseball guy, a Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame career, if not Hall of Fame career, and the ability to relate and communicate and connect. Our interest in him was in a lot of different ways. At the time, he wanted to take a year off, so we spend some time with the family. And so he was willing to do that, obviously, special assignment, which he did benefit us in a great deal and got a chance to learn and grow from this side of the fence. And obviously, it propelled him. He propelled us. He made us better in a lot of categories. And I'd like to think we helped at least give him a better perspective of how that front office stuff works, because, we're three, four floors up. The players really, they know the business side to some degree because they got to live it, but they actually being a part of it, gives you a whole new exposure to it. So I'm sure that'll serve him well as he moves forward. And I'm not surprised, obviously, by his emergence as a manager with the Mets or with anybody. He's going to check so many boxes, and it'll be interesting to watch it play out, although it's across the street somewhat in our competitors' arena. I think they hired a good one, and he's going to serve them well.
All right, we're talking with Brian Cashman, of course. Cash, you won 100 games 2 years in a row. Obviously, you didn't get where you wanted to get to in the postseason, but you shook up the staff. The reasons why you felt the need, from an organization standpoint, to shake up the staff.
Well, there's a couple of different components to it. Obviously, most of our coaches' contracts were expired. And so the one that wasn't was Larry Rothschild, so we'll start there. We kind of started remaking our pitching programs from the ground up through our player development department in Florida all the way through our system. And we made some changes with the pitching coordinators, and we brought in Sam Breen, who's now our pitching coordinator, and hiring a whole new lot of pitching coaches. And we were very open and vocal and transparent this summer when I was addressing that we were trying to continue to speed up the process and stay current and progressive with a lot of the new technologies that were available, whether it's the Ripsodo machines and the TrackMan data and how to apply it and how to game plan on it and the pitch design sequences and all those nice buzzwords and technological opportunities that existed that we currently possessed, but mastering how to operate the most efficient and effective way, I think, was still a gray area for us. And so I wanted to address that and you know, make sure that we were, you know, potentially as good as anybody in that category. And that meant having to go out, you know, outside the franchise to import people with that content and that knowledge. So that led us to hiring Sam Breen, who ran the Driveline programs that have been very successful and ultimately led us to Matt Blake and making a tough decision on pivoting away from Larry Rothschild. It had nothing to do with anything with the postseason or disappointment in our regular season, whatever. I mean, Larry Rothschild's a very effective pitching coach and has served us well, and I think the baseball industry very well in all categories that he's been over the course of time. And he's a championship caliber coach and one we've been blessed to have. But as I, you know, obviously game plan and strategize moving forward and trying to make sure that we have, you know, all the boxes checked and addressing those and providing that type of information and flow that the players desperately want and need, and we want for them at the same time, it made me have to make a tough decision there. So I could have those boxes checked. In terms of Josh Bard, who was our previous bench coach last 2 years, he started having conversations with us about potentially being closer to home. He's from Colorado, and he was always flying home back and forth on off days and stuff. You know, he's got a family and, you know, young kids and stuff like that. So if there was an opportunity that could exist for him to move closer to home, that was of interest to him. And so with that knowledge, he eventually got the opportunity to do that with the Dodgers, and he's going to return to the Dodgers coaching staff in L.A., you know, which allowed us to pivot into you know, moving Carlos Mendoza to the bench coaching job. And then we went outside the franchise and imported, I think, one of the better catching coaches in the baseball industry, in Tanner Swanson. So he's going to run our catching programs from the major league side all the way through the minor league side and be our quality control coach. So Tanner Swanson will replace Jason Brown, and obviously Carlos Mendoza pivots over and replace Josh Bard, and Matt Blake will replace Larry Rothschild. Blake is a guy, obviously, from the Cleveland Indians organization that I should have spoke about earlier, and he right. addresses a lot of things. He's been a very effective manager of the pitching programs and coaching of the pitching programs for the player development side for the Cleveland Indians. Comes highly recommended, and he really impressed us in the interview process, and hopefully that process will play out in a positive way for us, you know, as our seasons unfold in the future.
All right. As far as the players as we and the roster, as far as we head towards free agency, and obviously everyone wondering about the Yankee stance and the idea of economics and the idea of the high, you know, the big prospects, pitching prospects who are on the market and everything. What's your statement on that?
Well, I mean, it's hard. First and foremost, we've got a 100-win team, as you know, the past 2 years, 103 this particular year. So it's hard to improve upon that, but that's the job regardless. And so first area of focus, clearly, that would be obvious, is there a way to improve upon the starting rotation? There's certainly some big names out there, whether you want to talk about, you know, Garrett Cole or Strasburg or Wheeler, or amongst a number of other potential free agents that exist, and we will connect with all of those individual players with their representation and try to see if there's matches to be found. I mean, they're obviously in a very competitive market. Those things aren't easy. And then with free choice, you have the ability to decide, you know, that, you know, money might not necessarily be the entire driver. And that's how that market stuff works, as you know. So, yep. You know, we'll address to the best of our abilities, you know, perceived needs, whether it's via the trade route like we did Paxton last year, or the free agent route like we did with DJ LeMahieu or others like Britton or Ottaviano last year. So it's hard to see how this winter program is going to materialize, but, you know, we're in the information, you know, gathering mode as we've been early stages at right now. And hopefully the current cast of characters on this roster will stay healthy and serve us well. And I can hopefully augment that with running into a few great opportunities, whether they're very expensive ones or not, you know, remains to be seen. But we're definitely going to have the conversations necessary to you know, put us in a position to try to construct something that, you know, our fans will be really excited about.
With the Hicks injury, obviously that puts Gaudy back in play, and the idea of what's up with Didi, would you be comfortable if Torres is your shortstop next year?
Well, he showed, he showed obviously clearly in the absence of Didi last year that, you know, we could be a really an effective franchise, you know, with him at short and DJ LeMahieu at second, you know, played out well, you know, and, you know, that'll be part of the evaluation. But is that the best that we should be doing as we move forward? Is it with Didi at short, or is it with some other alternative that is a potential trade or free agent sign that, you know, we haven't been talking about? Those are the things we have to evaluate and discuss. Obviously, if I was on the program with you last year, DJ LeMahieu was not really in the beginning stages of our game planning. It's something that materialized over time. And so that's kind of how these things work. Some things just emerge and we'll have to wait and see. But there's no doubt that Gleyber Torres did a really good job playing shortstop. That's his natural position. We didn't miss anything, you know, while he was playing there. He was thriving for us. And so at the very least, you know, we're comfortable with the roster we have, but at the very most, the job continues to be, what is the best deployment? Who are the best people that you can secure that puts you in a greater position to do the job, you know, on the infield side or the outfield side or the pitching side, and where you feel you can go to compete with and take another shot at trying to get back into the World Series that, you know, it's been elusive here for us recently. And so, Didi's been a great player for us. He really has. I mean, this past year notwithstanding, and he's been a great person. So I think our fans obviously had a chance to really enjoy him. And now obviously he's earned the right to be in free agency to open it up and listen to what everybody has to say, including us. And then he'll have some choices to make as will we. And so, I'll talk to his agent later today. I already was on the phone with him once earlier today because he's got many players. He's got a number of players in the free agent market. His agent is Jim Murray, and he's also got Dellin Betances, for instance, amongst others. So we'll see.
How does the Andujar Urshela thing play out for you right now? I know it's early, but what do you see as possibilities with those two?
Well, you know what? It's hard to ignore what Gio did last year. He was pretty special on both sides of the ball. And it came at an opportune time for us once we lost Miggy to an injury. And what Miguel Andujar has done the previous year was pretty incredible, especially with the bat, you know, being, you know, at that time 23 years of age and having a strong OPS post and finishing, I think, second in the Rookie of the Year behind Otani. Pretty impactful bat. So because of the emergence of Gio Urshela, it makes you daydream. All right, it's Gio's job in theory to lose based on his performance this past season, and doesn't mean Miggy can't take it back, doesn't mean Gio can't give it up. But at the same time, if both are what they are capable of being now, you start to daydream, you know, hey, what's Miggy look like at first? What's right. Miggy look like in the outfield? I'm not saying
which is a more logical transition in your mind for him? If he's going to go, and I'm sure he's going to dabble at all of them, but which is a more logical, from what you know of him, what's the more logical transition?
I mean, I think it's easy just to say first base because it's infield. These are just daydream stuff right now. We actually haven't translated that to anything more than that, although I think the player has on his own, from what I'm hearing, might be playing with that already, you know. Okay. with his agency, but we'll see. But at the end of the day, I'm getting a lot of calls about Miggy.
I'm sure you are
saying, yeah, hey, you know, with Gio there, what are you looking for with Miggy? They're looking for under controllable high ceiling bats, which obviously Miguel Andujar would check that box. So I'm not saying we're going to trade him. I'm not saying, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know just yet what the future of 2020 and Miguel Andujar is going to be. Does that mean he's going to be with the New York Yankees on the 25-man roster? Is he going to be an option at Scranton waiting in the wings? Is he going to be playing first base? Is he going to play third? Is he going to play left? I think you know, it's a potpourri. There's a lot of different things that are possible. But, you know, he's a pretty special, talented kid that unfortunately got taken offline with that injury to the shoulder. But all things are supposed to return to being good. And he's obviously in his throwing program right now on the rehab side of it. But we have been getting a lot of knocks on the door on him, and understandably so, because, again, the control years are, and the salary are non-existent right now, and the talent is already proven with what he did in the American League just 2 years ago. So
you have a lot of right-handed power that you can sprinkle all over the roster and all over the lineup, which we know. You don't have a lot of lefties now, and you have fewer ones, with Didi floating, with Hicks hurt. So, I mean, first let's start with Gaudy, who I would guess is in the picture, right?
Well, I mean, we'd like him to be. But again, with the free agency and the year he's had, you know, he'll have some choices, clearly, that he's earned. He's been a great player for us for a long time, someone that we've enjoyed the relationship with, and I know he's really enjoyed playing here, and I, not to speak for him, but it's easy to speak for him. I think we both would love that to continue. Now trying to thread the needle, you know, is another matter, and see where that shakes out. But yeah, his leadership, his left-handed bat with this right-handed dominant lineup, the defense that he provides, the base running he provides on a team that's more station to station, all those things are, you know, perfect fits in many different ways. And so I know, you know, we as a franchise, from ownership all the way through to the manager, would love to have him back. And we've had a lot of success in the past when we've engaged Gaudy and all that, and hopefully we can as we move forward. But again, the free agency can run interference, because, you know, teams can swoop in and make offers that, you know, that compel a decision. And so we'll see. He's earned that right, and we'll compete for him. And but, you know, we also have alternatives. You know, Hicks is returning. You know, Tauchman obviously can play left, center, or right. You know, he's a good young player that emerged for us, as we know, last year. You have Clint Frazier, clearly, with Judge and Stanton, and that doesn't mean, you know, playing on various other alternative free agents out there too. So, as you know, the conversations that'll take place via trade or free agency, you know, will continue, as at the same time the focus of trying to re-sign Gaudy will continue, and you know, but the main plan would be to bring Gaudy back if we can.
You know, it's funny, we had this discussion probably a lot of years, the idea of what it takes to build a team to win a championship versus winning the regular season. And everyone was going to point to the power pitching, except the Astros didn't win. I know the Washington had power pitching too, but what it came down to was Washington's ability to come from behind in big spots. That's really what was the difference for them in the entire playoffs. They did it against Milwaukee. They did it against the Dodgers. They did it against the Astros. That's what it came down to, them getting timely hits late in games, Rendon and obviously Soto, those guys. You know, you can't predict that. You really can't. So do you still just put the best team you can for the 162 and hope for the best, or have you thought that there's some other configuration that works?
Yeah, I think that's all you really can do. The game plan, you know, you evaluate hopefully properly what you have and where your strengths lay and where your weaknesses are, and you attack the weaknesses to the best of your abilities with the available market and play with the available payroll you have. Thankfully we have more available payroll than most because of the ownership here. At the end of the day, you know, I thought, again, going back to our personal experience in the 2019 playoffs, I thought Aaron Boone really described it perfectly in the fact that we weren't a player or two away. We were a play or two away from actually advancing and playing in the World Series. And
couple of at-bats,
Washington.
Yeah. A couple of big at-bats.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And at-bats from them, we were talking about, and this is not a blame game conversation, right, but just speaking to how things are, and I won't say, I guess using the word randomness or the volatility of this incredible sport, where players like Gaudy, who I desperately would love to have back with us, but obviously,
or Torres with the bases loaded,
or Encarnacion, obviously, who is as professional hitter as you can find,
and was someone awful in that Houston series, awful.
And so it's, you know, again, if in one at bat or two, or even if you take that, you know, again, this is what losers do, because we lost and we have to sit there and pick up the pieces and wonder what could have been. But, you know, in that ball that DJ LeMay hit off Gaudy hit off of Altuve's glove, and if it went another foot, you know, we win game two and we've take the first two games in Houston and blah, 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 blah. I mean,
sure.
I guarantee our audience right now listening to this is probably, you know, sick of listening to
it. Or Didi's ball against Cole that, you know, is caught up against the wall.
Yeah, so at the end of it all, I mean, we don't want to be the team that has to, you know, think that way and kind of dissect it, but we're forced to because that's what happened. We were sent home, and but I do believe that the best description was we were a play or two away, and you just, you know, and you got to give Washington a hell of a lot of credit because what they did was
spectacular. Absolutely. I mean, think about it. They showed that graphic, Ash, late in game seven. Rendon, late in the games in the postseason and after the seventh inning, was 6-for-6 in those big spots, in those games where they were behind. That's unbelievable. I mean, think about it. I mean, home run, double. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously, I thought we were on a magic carpet ride ourselves. I mean, obviously, you know, throughout the entire year with all the guys stepping up, doing what they've done with the injuries, despite the injuries, and the performances coming from surprise spots like Gio Urshela, and then DJ LeMay slides in here and is an MVP-type candidate. And even in game six when he hit the game-tying home run,
yes.
I was like, here we go, we're going to roll. But again, that's what makes this game so amazing, the volatility, the unpredictability. That's why you can't bet on this sport in any way, shape, or form, or you'll be, you know, destroyed because it's a game of inches. You could have an impact coming from, ball bouncing one way or the other, a poor performance, an untimely time, or guys rising to the occasion and playing up to, well above their abilities in a small sample size. It's great. It's amazing to be a part of and watch it play out. But at the same time, in the tough times when you're not good enough and you lose and you get sent home, it's very humbling and disappointing at the same time too. So the emotions are amazing and they're killers at the same time. And that's why I think I'm drawn to it.
Do you feel differently from this last one than from the couple before it? I mean, you've had three in a row that have been tough. The one in the middle, Boston, was just a better team. The other two, very tough against Houston. But you can point to, you know, how close that series was in 17 and 18 and 19. Do you feel differently about this one than the other two or the same?
No, I'd say the same. I mean, ultimately, there's only one team that can feel really good about it all. And at the same time, if you're peeling the onion back a little bit, you fall back on realizing there was a lot of special things and amazing things to celebrate. I thought our manager did a fantastic job with our staff and the players, you know, emerging and competing the way they did on a daily basis. So really proud of the year, disappointed in the ultimate goal not achieved, but proud of the goals that were achieved short of the goal that wasn't achieved. Obviously, we wanted to win the American League and we wanted to win the World Championship. But, we'll take another shot at it next year. You got to be in it to win it. We've been in it despite not winning it. But we're going to keep taking our shots and hopefully we'll push through and find a way, with whatever the available marketplace and our current players are. And we'll game plan again. You know, that's all I can promise our fan base. And I know our ownership is on us to continue to find ways to secure talent to get in here to allow us to compete for a championship and let it play out and see how it shakes out.
When you look at it, you do have some moves this year. You got guys who might be leaving. You've got maybe more turnover this year if the free agents all leave. Obviously, you have some CeCe retiring. You have some different things going on with this team. So do you expect this? Encarnacion's gone. I mean, Gaudy could leave. Didi, we go down the line. Do you think this is going to have a more dramatically different look next year, this team, as far as there'll be bigger changes this year?
It's hard to predict. I mean, I know, things can change on a dime, in a good way or a bad way. And so that's why every step you take, every play you make, every comment you decide to push out there, every personal decision somebody makes in their, personal lives, all can have a massive impact on the direction that your team's taking. So we're careful to recognize that and try to game plan in a way that's, obviously it's important to take every step that pushes us in a positive direction. And I can't presume that at the same time while we're doing that, hey, losing CC is big. This guy was a massive presence in our clubhouse as a leader and a performer and someone that, would compete at the highest level, with everything he had, even when he was physically challenged. And obviously Guardy is currently a free agent, and Didi as well, and Dellen. And these are impactful people that, even if at times that they weren't, competing on the field of play, they're making their teammates better by directing them a certain way. And so, those are important voices that we might be forced, that in some cases, like CeCe, we're forced to replace. How does it play out? How do those gaps get filled in? What's that new world order look like? Those are the unpredictable parts of team building and culture. And obviously I trust Aaron Boone with his staff down there to help guide things along the way. And the current existing group of players that remain, being able to do the right thing, to continue passing that baton on to those guys to lead the way the right way. But recognizing it's a slippery slope too. You lose some people along the way, and the field changes, the lights get turned on in that clubhouse every day, but it might not feel the same with certain people not in there. So those are important things, but we're thankful that the dudes we have down there, like a DJ LeMahieu and Gleyber Torres and Avoit and you bounce around Gary Sanchez and all the current existing characters, including young guys like Tauchman. Aaron Judge is as big a leader as we've got. And those guys are charged to keep this train moving despite losing some quality people. And it's my job with our front office people and ownership to find quality, impactful personnel to align with them and bet on them meshing, much like this past year did. Because our fans saw it. We saw it. There was some serious magic going on with this crew. They took the field every day in a way that you would want to bottle up and maintain for the rest of your life if you could, because these guys had their priorities straight. They were really in it to win it, and they were devastated when we didn't. And hopefully, obviously, we can recreate that magic and improve the roster at the same time as we move into 2020.
And a lot of role players who just were, whether it was Tauchman or Maben or down the line, so many different guys. Let me get to one that you might have clarity on. I don't think the fans do. I don't think we do. I don't think the media does. Is Ramon clear? Is everything passed with him? Or is there still more that he faces? Or is he clear to come to baseball with a clear conscience and get ready to go back to work this spring? Is that where he's at, or is it not where he's at?
I think it's I know it's something I'm not able to comment on. It's still in the hands of Major League Baseball and the Players Association, and that's all I do know, to be honest.
Gotcha.
So there's nothing
okay.
for me to
so there's still it. Some murky, there's still some uncharted waters here with Ramon, as far as we it's not all rectified then.
Whatever the process is, they're going through it in a confidential manner and taking whatever steps from both sides that they need to be taking, and whether it's the front office, the fans, the employer, what have you, we're all waiting on that process to play out, and so that's in the hands of the Major League Baseball and the Players Association, and we'll just wait and hear from what they have to say whenever it's concluded.
All right. Brian is a member of the board of directors of Covenant House International, which provides services for homeless youth. He was honored by the organization with their Beacon of Hope Award in 2011, and he will be participating for the 9th straight year in the group's CEO Solidarity Sleepout, which takes place on Thursday at Yankee Stadium. Is there anything that people can contribute to there, or is there an event surrounding that, or is that just you guys as far as that goes?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, I, as you said, I'm on the board of directors, and this is the 9th year we've done a sleep out where, we raise awareness and money for Covenant House's, target is helping homeless kids and eradicating homelessness from our youth. And so, obviously, tomorrow night, 200 leaders from business and sports and entertainment will sleep out at the Great Hall at Yankee Stadium, and we'll be out there till Friday morning. Our goal is to raise $10 million total between 19 sleepouts across the country from November 14th to the 25th.
And how do the fans contribute?
If, Fans can contribute if they want to go to covenanthouse.org /sleepout. So covenanthouse.org/sleepout. There'll be information there, and you can, you know, you'll see my name there if you want to, you know, sponsor my sleep out. You know,
okay.
They can donate to it. The money goes to obviously the kids and trying to save these kids' lives that that obviously didn't have the fortunes that most of this audience on this airwaves can have benefited from, which is having, you know, a house to grow up in and great parents to raise us and stuff. Obviously the homeless youth that Covenant House has been dealing with for so long has been taking care of those that are less fortunate and providing them hope and an opportunity that, that they weren't in theory born into at the very least. And so it's a great organization. And obviously, even though we're sleeping out, you know, it doesn't emulate, you know, the struggles that these kids go through, but it does at least bring and drive awareness and a money drive and fundraising drive for the efforts that Covenant House is doing. So I appreciate, if anybody has an interest, as I said, I appreciate Mike, you allowing me to tell the audience about it. covenanthouse.org /sleepout. And tomorrow night, cold or no cold, we'll be out there doing what we can to at least drive people to help support that great franchise in Covenant House.
All right, good job. Thanks very much. Happy Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you, but we'll chat again, I'm sure, during the busy December time. And thanks for a couple of minutes. Appreciate it. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right, Brian Cashman. And again, that's covenanthouse.org/sleepout. So check that out for a very good cause. Back after this.